You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 90. And my guest today is Sue. Now, Sue has an extraordinary dream related to some extraordinary circumstances. And what I love about her dream, as you'll hear as we discuss it, is that it captures a moment of transformation in her life. The dream actually captures the moment where something big shifts and changes. And as we talk about the interpretation, and it is a wonderful dream, and as we begin to relate to what is happening in Sue's life now, in the past, in the future, you just see it all fall into place like some giant jigsaw puzzle. So if ever you've really wanted an episode, to listen to an episode that really does cover all the bases and really show how a dream relates to waking life, how you can put puzzle pieces together, how you can move forward from them, particularly how you can capture a moment of transformation, this is a great one to listen to. We so rarely make transformations. We so commonly process our waking life experiences with reference to the past. You know, that's how life is. It's more of the same, more of the same. I can't do this because of that. Oh, da 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 da. Limitation. This is one of those dreams that crosses that point and all of that changes. So you are absolutely going to love this one. Now, Michael, as you know, is the technical man beside me and my husband, and he records the podcast. It's a long one. You'll enjoy it. But he did let me know that in the middle of it, we had garbage trucks come by to collect the garbage. And we also had a very, very heavy rainstorm, which is on a corrugated iron roof, which is what we have on a lot of houses in Australia. So I was oblivious to all of that because I was deep in a completely different zone doing my interpretation. But apparently there's a couple of points where you might wonder, what on earth is that going on in the background? Well, it's a tropical Australian rainstorm on an Australian traditional house roof, and it's a garbage collection. I haven't listened through yet to know whether those arrived at significant points in the interpretation, but you can have a listen to that. So enjoy Sue. I've obviously just finished talking and making the recording with her, so enjoy that. And of course, if you want to contact me separately or find out more about this, go to my website at www.dream.net.au, my blog at janetheresa.com, or find me on Facebook and interact there. Welcome to The Dream Show, Sue. How are you this evening?
I'm fine, thank you.
And how's the weather where you are, your neck of the woods?
It's cold. Well, it was 42 degrees today, which is a heat wave for us. But it's going to get a lot colder at the end of the week, I understand, and more snow.
It's an amazing time of year, you know, for anyone listening to this podcast in real time. I think we're just all completely baffled the world over by the weather we're getting. Strange things. But anyway, even stranger things happen in our dreams and our sleep. So off you go, Sue. What have you got for us today?
Okay. Well, I wrote this down, Jane. It's dated December 28th at 6:25 a.m. This is in my journal. I'll kind of read a little bit of it. I just had this unbelievable experience. I had awakened early this morning at 3:58 a.m. and couldn't get back to sleep immediately. So I went through a guided imagery meditation, and following that, I went back to sleep. I dreamed I was talking with my sister. I have a brother and then two sisters, so this would be the sister following my brother. I dreamed I was talking with my sister Patty in person, and she broke down crying about the costs of medical scans that she and her husband had through the years, these physical scans, and now the cumulative cost of $6 million was being charged back to them. Then then it was like a TV channel change, quite honestly. All of a sudden, the next thing I knew, I was running outdoors between a tall stand of pine trees, and I was playing hide and seek with my oldest son, Peter, who's 21. He's 21 now, and it was the current time. And as he would come closer to me, I could hear him running around trees. And then I would manage to sneak away from him and run around another tree. But just at the right at the moment he was just about ready to catch me, I could feel him closing in. And right at that moment, I felt like somebody had laid down beside me in bed. I felt this physical presence next to me in bed. And I felt the mattress, to me anyway, it felt like the mattress actually pressed in right next to me. And I could feel it sinking in. And then it was another channel change on the television, so to speak. And all of a sudden, it was a black screen. Everything was just midnight black, but these golden, neon golden numbers and figures and symbols and ancient alphabet letters were free-falling down this black screen, just in I likened it to like an electrical transformer that suddenly goes bad and then there's a shower of sparks. That's the way it made me think. And I was standing down below this, looking up at it, thinking, oh my gosh, this is just, first of all, it was beautiful. Secondly, I all I could think of was Albert Einstein, the E equals MC squared, that came to my mind. And I wanted desperately to grab as many numbers and symbols and alphabet letters as I possibly could so that I could hold on to them later to try to translate them and figure out what they meant. But they were free-falling so fast that it seemed like within a few seconds and they were gone.
Mm.
And that was it.
Mm. How did you feel when you woke up?
I was astounded. I grabbed my journal. I keep a journal by my bed for such things. And I just started writing as fast as I could because, to me, for this one especially, I've had some interesting dreams in the past, but, this, first of all, the feeling that somebody was laying in bed next to me was just incredible. In fact, I felt myself wanting to kind of open my eyes and turn and look, but then I didn't. Mm-hmm. I just kept on and with the dream, and I'm glad I did.
Oh yes.
And then that second part, that the symbols and the letters and the numbers and this black screen and the whole, it was incredible. I couldn't even begin to tell you. It just made me feel in awe.
In awe, yes. That's absolutely fantastic. And I would like to ask you, but actually I'm actually not going to ask you till later what the guided imagery was, because I want to know how the imagery that you went through, the guided imagery meditation, played into the dream. But I think I just like to look at the dream first and then kind of correlate that with the imagery later. So we'll put that to one side. And what I'd also like to do is just make a couple of observations first before we go into it. And one is that you've got that beautiful, three parts in your dream, Sue. You said it's like you had the first part and then it was like a TV channel change and then it was like another channel change. And what you've got there is a dream with a recurring, a kind of a recurring motif, or not so much a recurring motif as a the three things are linked quite distinctly. They are interlinked in a way that I hope to bring forward. But it's really important that you notice those three sections in the dream. And I'm glad that you saw those as three kind of completely different takes of a situation, which is what they actually are, really. But what I'd like to do is just jump in at that mattress thing first, because there'll be a lot of people listening who actually have had similar kind of experiences. And some of those experiences include, so I just want to make sure that if you're listening and you've had these experiences, you know that there's a connection with Sue's dream here. So sometimes people get what you got, Sue, which is a feeling of someone being in the bed with you, getting into the bed and feeling the mattress pressed down as you did. Similar sensations are the feeling that you get into bed, either in the dream or when you actually get into the bed and you're kind of sleepy and, you know, half in twilight zone already. And it feels like somebody else gets in after you. It feels like the covers are lifted, where it feels like, you know, that, you know, you get into bed and the covers drop onto your body. And sometimes it feels like they then drop on again, as if someone's got in with you. And a related sensation is if you wake in the middle of the night, either completely awake or kind of half awake, and you have this vague notion that there's an extra person in bed, you know, whether you're asleep alone or with a partner, there's this feeling that there's a second or a third person, and it's a really, really strange feeling. So all of those sensations are similar to the mattress experience, which I'm going to go over with you, Sue. So for people listening in that have had those kind of experiences, this applies as well. So I'm going to kind of jump in at the middle of the dream there. So you've had an absolutely fantastic dream. This is a totally transforming dream with a lot of really positive and wonderful stuff for you. And I'd be surprised if you hadn't already noticed some changes in your life. We know it's a transforming dream in any case, but the fact that you also mentioned at the end that the black screen with all the numbers and letters reminded you of an electrical transformer. We've even got that word transform in the dream there too. But what you got with the mattress there is that, you know how in the dream you were doing the hide and seek. And finally, just at that moment where you and Peter, he finally caught, you know, he was just about to catch you, just about to touch you, was when you felt the mattress depress and go down. That symbolizes the moment at which you actually integrated some energy that that you associate with Peter, and we will delve into that and find out what that is. It's like you took this energy back on board within yourself. It's something that's been lost. In that moment, you took it back on board, and it felt like Your dreaming brain interpreted it as, wow, I've landed. I'm back in bed. There's another person in bed. There's another part of myself here that I have lost touch with, and it's come back to me. And it's quite amazing how intense that feeling can be and how much it can actually feel like another person. When it's the other version, when it's getting into bed and then feeling like, oh, there's someone getting into bed after me, that's often comes when a person has locked off a part of their energy or locked off a part of their self in a way. And as you're getting sleepy and as you're getting, you know, ready for bed and kind of getting more in touch with your unconscious mind, you become more aware of, oh, there's another part of myself. Like there's me getting into bed and, oh, there's this other part that I have kind of, it's not in a spooky way. You haven't actually kind of detached a part of your spirit that's following you around and haunting you. It's just the knowledge within your unconscious mind that there is more to you than meets the eye. And so that's the same thing when you can wake up in the middle of the night and feel there's another person there. It's like, I know there's more to me. And in the middle of the night, when you're, you know, more in touch with your unconscious mind, yeah, there is. There's more to me than when I'm awake that I'm aware of. And so what you've got in your dream, and we'll work out what it is and so that you can understand how it's happened. But with that mattress thing, it is an absolutely incredible and beautiful thing to happen. It is a part of yourself has come back. And we're going to go in and work out what that is. How are you feeling so far?
Fine. Can you hear me?
Yeah, beautifully. Yes. Are you hearing, okay. You hearing me okay?
Yes. I'm sorry. Here, I think I hit something on my telephone, so I apologize.
That's all right.
I'm excited. I think I must have. Anyway,
it's great. And as all our listeners can tell, this is entirely live. We do these in a one take unless something really drastic happens. So you're hearing it as it happens. Okay, so we've got Patty and we've got Peter, which is interesting because they are their real names, but they actually sound very similar. Patty and Peter. We've got P's and T's, yeah. So when you have other people in your dreams, we're going from the top of the dream and working through it now, they generally represent things about yourself. So if I ask you, Sue, to describe Patty in three words that to you describe her personality or her approach to life, what would you say?
Oh, funny, very loyal, and very interconnected with family.
So funny, very loyal, and very interconnected with family. And now we're going to do the same with Peter, as he is now, age 21. What three words would you use to describe his personality or approach to life?
Very intelligent, introspective, and quite introverted.
And introverted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's interesting because there are a couple of opposites there. You know, Patty is sort of interconnected with the family, whereas Peter is kind of introverted. Are they quite opposite people in some senses? Quite different from each other?
In terms of their senses of humor, they're almost I would say Peter almost seemed to develop some of his sense of humor from his aunt, not really opposite, I guess, but the male and female really comes out.
Yes.
I mean, definitely. I think there's a huge difference there. But I don't know. She brings good things out in Peter.
Ah, good. Good, that's excellent. She brings good things out in Peter. Good. well, we'll come back to that. So when you say, you know, that Patty brings good things out in Peter, you know, what that instantly says is there is more to Peter than meets the eye, and Patty is that one wonderful person that can go in and help him bring that out, develop that within himself, bring something out of Peter. So you already associate Peter with things, qualities that are hidden that need to be brought out and which are in fact brought out within him.
Mm-hmm.
And in the second part of your dream, you've got a hide and seek game where you're kind of, you know, hide and seek is like, well, what's hidden and what can you find?
Okay, right.
So we're sort of playing into that theme again there, and Peter's a good symbol for you of a kind of energy that has more. There's more to him than meets the eye. Has hidden qualities that need to be brought out and are brought out, but does have hidden qualities and also is introverted. So he probably knows about his hidden qualities. He just likes to keep them to himself. Introspective and introverted, but also very intelligent. And I like the fact you use the word very a lot. You know, you describe Peter as very intelligent and you describe Patty as very funny and very loyal. So it's almost like you see extreme qualities, you know, that they're not just funny, loyal and intelligent, very funny, very loyal, very intelligent, exceptional qualities in people. So we'll just sort of put that in the mix at the moment because people and dreams are all about yourself. So even at this stage, we can say, okay, within Sue, there are lots of varies. There are lots of very wonderful qualities, which sometimes you tend to keep a bit hidden yourself or keep to yourself or tend to be introspective.
Where I can be outgoing, I'm more of an introvert, I think,
yes,
to a certain extent. I'm a writer, so I use my writing skills a lot, and as opposed to my social, you know, the socializing or the life of the party kind of thing. I'm not that type of a person.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. So you do, your way of communicating and getting through to people and doing wonderful work is through writing. But that is an introspective process. It's an introspective process which nurtures and develops that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So just looking at the middle section of the dream there, because we kind of do this in dream interpretation. It's not a straight line thing. It's not necessarily step by step. I kind of jump about all over the place because that's the way it happens and then put it together. So Peter is an aspect of yourself. He represents the part of yourself that tends to be the very intelligent writer that tends to be more introspective and more introverted and who also has wonderful, very hidden qualities that sometimes need to be brought out more. And it's like in that middle section of the dream, it keeps hiding, you're catching. It's almost like just as you're about to catch and close in on him, you get this landing on the mattress effect. So it's in that part of the dream, you actually catch that feeling of there's an extra quality within you that you hadn't really captured but you just about captured in the dream and it actually landed and actually integrated into your personality during that dream. You got it back. You got something back.
Oh.
And we are going to go in and find out what that is, but that was what you did. You got something there, and it was of the same quality of, it wasn't getting more of Peter, it wasn't getting more intelligence, more introspection, more introversion. You've got that already. It was getting something that has been hidden, that is a wonderful quality, and just catching it, just closing in on it, just enough to go, I almost got you there. And in the dream sense, you did, because you felt that as a physical sensation. You grounded something that had been lost.
Now, oh, interesting.
It is. Now, the dream always, any dream, always reflects the last 24 to 48 hours, because your dreaming mind is processing your conscious and unconscious experiences of the last 2 days. And in doing that, your dream will often reference the past and project ahead to the future, which is why we have elements of the past in a dream and kind of, you know, surreal elements of the future. But it's all hinging on how you're processing the last 2 days of your conscious and unconscious experiences. So what we get with a dream interpretation is the wonderful opportunity to look in, interpret the dream as a window of how your mind is working, as how you are processing your experiences, how you relate them to your past experiences, and therefore how you project them forward. So that's what we're really doing here. So you recorded this dream, Sue, on the 28th of December. So while we go deeper and deeper into this dream, what we're looking at is correlating what experiences you had consciously and unconsciously on the days of the 27th and 28th of December. So we can easily put that into context. That's we had Christmas Day, we had the day after Christmas, Boxing Day. It's the 2 days after that that we're talking about here. So that is why in the third part of the dream, it's all like so surreal and amazing and all this fantastic stuff coming in. I'm going to go into that in depth. But what you've got there is, wow, this quality that I have that's previously been hidden, I've caught it, I've got it. And at the moment, I'm trying to get my head around it like it's all foreign symbols to me. Now, that foreign symbols is like stuff that I can't yet get my head around, because it's stuff that you've not yet got in contact with, and so that aspect of it is like it seems foreign to me, but wow, is it really here? Okay. The other part of that is you've also gotten the ancient letters. Now, whenever something is ancient or reported as ancient in a dream, it's usually as ancient as you. You know, we kind of perceive in our personal timelines of life experiences that the experiences we had as, you know, a tiny baby child, you know, up to say, I don't know, age 5, 6, I'm guessing, are kind of ancient in comparison to everything else. So what we've got in your dream is, with these ancient letters, is getting in touch with something that you perhaps might have been in touch with very, very young, but lost touch with then, and have now come back in a way which seem foreign, but also seem futuristic in a sense.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. Now, there's also the sense there's so much in that, and I am going to get back to the start of the dream in a minute because it's important. But I'm up here on the third channel change at the moment, Sue. there's also that feeling. I love the way that you described it was gold. It came out of a black screen and it was gold. Black in a dream can often be the unconscious, what we can't see clearly. It's all black. I can't see. It's dark. It's unconscious. But at the moment that this hidden quality came bang back into your life, you got gold out of the black. So out of the unconscious suddenly came, wow, what's this? I've got this golden, you know, fantastic reward. You don't get much more light than gold. And perhaps light isn't really white. Perhaps it's gold, sunlight, you know, the light of understanding, maybe sunlight rather than white light. So you've got this, yes, there's been this wonderful golden sunlight inspiration quality that is now coming out of the black unconscious, and it is fabulous. It is astounding. You use the words astounding and in awe, and in some sense your dreaming brain is trying to paint this quality that is you. You know, you are the awe, you are the astounding. This is something that you wonder why it has been hidden for all this time. It's now for you. And I love the way that you describe that it's kind of free falling. Because I focused on the word free. And when you write out a dream, and also when you talk a dream aloud, when you, you know, say the dream either to someone else like to me, or you say it in an empty room to yourself, your unconscious mind will often use bring in words that are telling in their own way. You probably find this as a writer when you write, you probably find that words just sometimes appear on the page when you're doing free-flowing stuff. And later on you look back and you think, oh, that's cleverer than I thought I was. Have you had that experience?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I love words.
Yeah. And so particularly for a person that's tuned into words and loves words, the dreaming brain will often use words as wordplay, visual puns, visual cliches, and so on. So for you to see it in the dream and express it as a free falling, let's go back. You fell on that part of yourself fell on the mattress. So there's a fall. Free is like I've freed something up here. I have freed something that was previously hidden. It's now free falling. It's also free flowing. It is as magnificent as E equals MC squared. And you saw it in the dream as an electrical transformer. Now, first of all, you said, oh, it reminded me of when an electrical transformer goes bad. And I thought, oh, I don't like that it went bad. But then you said, oh, it was a shower of sparks. Now, the brain, if we now take a physical kind of look at the brain is really lots of kind of nerves and neurons and electrical charges and discharges going on, as well as a lot of other stuff. And so the fact that in the dream you looked up to this screen and you saw all these symbols and everything, looking up in the dream, you're looking up to something high, is like looking up to your head, to your thinking, to your brain, to the way it processes. You're actually seeing electrical changes in your brain, or your dream is trying to express that. It's like we are making new neural connections here. We are making transformations. Now, this may all look very strange to you at the moment, like foreign symbols and stuff I don't understand. And some of it is kind of ancient, kind of is vaguely familiar, but we are making new neural connections here.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, and that's what's actually happening in that part of your dream, that landing of that part of yourself in the mattress, that getting in touch with that actually caught the moment where you not only got back in touch with that, but you actually made new neural connections in your dream. So I feel that you would have woken up with, and perhaps it can take a while to filter through, but may have surprised yourself in the last few days with slightly changed ways of responding to things or doing things. And I'm going to ask you that question a little bit later. I'm just going to put that on hold for the moment. But Einstein, what does Einstein mean to you?
Gracious, I don't know. I the only thing I can think is, I mean, I'm aware of Einstein, and I actually have a couple of books on him, but I've never read them yet. So,
that's significant.
I just, you know, I think it's just that his extreme creativity, for one thing, his inventiveness, invention is big, because in my own life, I've been pondering an idea for an invention myself. So I think I'm wondering if that might kind of be.
Absolutely. Yes, that's wonderful. That makes a lot of sense that, you know, that you picked out his invention as one of his qualities, even though you don't know that much about him. So, yes, so he would be a symbol. Just the fact he wasn't in the dream, but you thought of him in the dream. Again, everybody and everything in the dream reflects some aspect of yourself. And so he, in for your personal symbol, for Albert Einstein, is invention. I guess invention is kind of creative genius in a way. And I love the way that, Sue, that you said, you didn't just say creativity, you said extreme creativity. So we're back to very and extreme again, like you're looking for the ultimate, you know. So yes, he, invention. So all this, these new neural connections, seeing the light, getting stuff out of the unconscious, getting back in contact with this aspect of yourself, is where you begin to see the enormity of invention, probably at a much huger level than you were actually aware of it before the dream.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Now, also the fact that you've got a couple of books on Albert Einstein, but you haven't read them yet, kind of plays back into that feeling of the dream of the hidden qualities. So I do suggest that one thing you might like to do is get the books, and if not read them completely, at least leaf through them or open them at random and see what pops out and jumps out, you know, kind of what you can catch that is hidden in Albert Einstein's stories that may apply to you.
Yeah, I will.
But I'd just like to finish my complete gabbling before going over to you and asking questions, because I haven't done the beginning part of the dream. And that's really a key, because the start of a dream is really often, if you capture the whole dream, the opening scene often sets the scene. So as a writer, of course, you would understand this even more clearly than most people would, you know, in writing or in drama and theatre and film, at least traditionally, but not always, traditionally you kind of set the situation as stated somehow at the beginning. You know, this is a play about family dysfunction, or this is a play about adventure, you know. So the beginning part of the dream usually identifies the situation that the rest of the dream then goes on to explore. So that's why it's really key to look at the start of the dream. Now, you've got Patty, who you see as funny, very loyal, and very interconnected with the family. So that interconnectedness, to me, it's funny enough, it's often the third thing that people say when that you ask them to come up with that list of three that is the most significant. It kind of rolls out. We kind of avoid saying it for the first two and it comes out in the third one. Not always, but often. So I get that interconnectedness with the family as maybe an aspect of your, one aspect of yourself from what you've been saying to me that has been a bit hidden. Not so much interconnectedness with the family, but interconnectedness in general. As you say, you know, your interconnectedness is, you're more introspective and your writing comes out of that. And then your writing goes into the world and does the interconnection for you. You know, so another aspect of this may be exploring physical interconnectivity, not necessarily with the family, but with physical people as well as through the writing, that that may be upfront there in the dream. Either why don't I do this, or where is this? Now, bearing in mind that these are the days straight after Christmas, and Christmas is often a family time, the dream may have been triggered by some aspects of either experiences or pondering family interconnection or interconnection in general, being social, being extroverted, and the things that are required from us around that time. And, of course, what Patty says in the dream is she's looking at the cumulative cost of medical scans, and $6 million being charged back to her for that. Did you get a feeling in the dream for what part of the body the medical scans were relating to?
Kind of the center. I mean, mostly. That sounds really vague, but it's just kind of the central part of her, say, the heart area, the organs, that area.
Yes. Now, that makes sense. And what I love about you is the way you're responding here, Sue, too, because when you're interpreting a dream, it's really important just to say whatever comes to mind. People often edit and think, oh, that doesn't make sense. I better say something logical and sensible. Whereas what you're actually saying is direct from your unconscious mind. So you're giving the correct answers. And that's the way when you interpret a dream yourself, to go through it, to just look at the first responses that come up, because we're already discussing a dream using the symbols that your unconscious mind has chosen. You know, that is the nature of the dream. And so we have your unconscious mind engaged while we're asking questions and talking about it and making changes. So that's really good. So you've got there the center and the heart and the organs. Now, the heart and the organs, apart from the ribs, which are protecting the heart, really the heart and the organs are kind of like the soft, vulnerable part of the body, mostly. So, and of course, the heart is where we feel, and the gut, so are gut feelings, and the heart is heart feelings, in contrast to the head, which does thinking stuff. So there's a kind of feeling here of the medical scans. It's like the introduction of the dream is something about, well, we've been looking here at healing, medical, looking for a way of healing, something to do with the heart or gut feelings or gut instincts or emotional feelings or going with the heart. It's almost as if maybe you've been doing a lot of head stuff, thinking, keeping approaching life and things from a thinking perspective, or maybe the opposite to that, thinking about it again, that you've been doing a lot of, you know, you've got medical scans. It's almost like I've been trying to do this healing for all this time on my gut instinct, my heart. So I don't know how far or how unfair, to create a new word, you've got with that. But there's a feeling at the beginning of the dream of, I know there's a sense of necessary healing for my gut instinct and my heart, but that the cost of this personally has been huge to me, because you said, I think you used the word personal when you described the cumulative personal cost. Now, your dream went cash like money, and we're going to go into this, but we're not talking that. We're talking personal costs that you feel. So you feel some element of personal expense or cost at either spending a lot of time exploring gut instinct, heart feelings, or at not getting in touch with those. And your dream says $6 million charged back. Now, if you get a very big number in a dream, like 6 million, you basically dispense with a million or all the zeros, and you come down to the number, which is six. And although a lot of dream symbols are kind of free-floating, malleable, vague, the numbers are usually pretty precise. Stunningly and amazingly, never fails to amaze me. So it's highly likely that the $6 million in your dream relates to something that happened 6 years ago, Sue. So can you think 6 years ago was the end of 2004, beginning of 2005? Anything spring to mind for what began for you then?
Wow. Well, medically for myself, and this happened in 2003, I had a hysterectomy. So there was kind of an end, you know, a physical end for myself.
Yes.
Of, you know, I guess, if you will, systems related to being a woman.
Mm-hmm.
But that occurred in, the summer of 2003 or the spring of 2003. So that's longer than that, but I'm trying to think.
It will lead on from there, because you brought that up, and I will go into that, but that is that your unconscious mind has brought that up as a trigger. So you had the hysterectomy in 2003, and there were many changes resulting from that, one of which happened around 2004 to 2005. It may have felt like a challenge. It may have felt like something went wrong. It may have felt like something went right. But something happened as a result of that around 2004.
Mm-hmm.
It'll come to you. No, don't worry about it. It'll come to you.
Okay.
Yeah. You okay?
Oh, I can't think of anything at the moment.
All right. We'll explore it. So already you've got there the connection between with Paddy, with feeling that the medical scans were the center of a body, and of course you've got hysterectomy there, which is also, as well as the heart is above the uterus, but with the hysterectomy, of course, you've got the uterus, which is also lower center of the body as well. So we do have a kind of correlation there. Now, if you look at that, you know, you express there that, you know, the hysterectomy is to some extent the end of some aspects of what it is to be woman. Of course, the hysterectomy is also the removal of the vehicle of creation, which is the birth, you know, birthing things. So if we remove that from the physical into other levels of exploring that, we're looking at creativity.
Oh, okay.
Right? So the physical correlate to what you can birth in your life was removed for all good reasons in 2003. And what we're talking about with your dream is invention, new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
As you described, Albert Einstein, extreme creativity.
Mm-hmm.
So you can still do all these things. Just because you haven't got a uterus doesn't mean you can do all these things. But at some level, when you had the hysterectomy in 2003, it may have reflected a feeling of losing touch with your creativity then.
Yeah, and you know, I wonder to some degree if I'm married. I didn't share that, but if it was somewhat of a shift in my marriage,
mm-hmm.
It's kind of I'm wondering too.
Yeah. So that shift in your marriage, when you had the hysterectomy, or before or after it?
That it probably would have come after,
yeah.
And that would be in that time frame, like the 2000,
yes,
kind of 2004 onward,
yeah.
Sort of, and the and I mean, a lot of the interesting things you've been talking about, I'm I mentioned to you, I'm a writer, but I'm in a government job, and I'm looking to sort of reinvent myself, so to speak, and become a lot more creative again, like I was when I was really young. And I've kind of suppressed that through the years. Mm. So.
Oh, that's beautiful. This is definitely tying in beautifully then. When you say you were very young, would that have been about 21, about the age Peter is now?
You know, that now that you said that, that was about the time frame. My poor husband's going to kill me probably, but that's about the time frame I met him. I met my husband-to-be, and and then we became involved. We've been married almost 30 years, so.
Okay.
I was very into, I was a very extremely independent person from my early teens onward. And then I think I sort of became very dependent, tended to become dependent.
Okay, so yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So whether or not your husband's listening, hello, husband, all is well, all is very, very well. When, of course, Sue, and now you know this after so many years of experience, you know, when we do meet someone and we form a relationship, necessarily some aspect of ourselves we release or let go in order to move on into a different way of being, particularly when you go ahead and have children, which you did, and build a whole new life. And then there comes a time when, you know, it becomes important sometimes for us to go back and get some of those things back. A lot of those things we don't want anymore, but some of those things that we put on hold for all good reasons, you know, as the level of independence that you had then would probably not have worked with the marriage and having children and, you know, the things that you do around that kind of age, you know, whereas the stage of life that you're at now, some 30 years later, and particularly perhaps going back to the hysterectomy, which may have had the effect on your physical body of thinking, oh, my childbearing years are over, you know, and you get out of that hormonal kind of slot, you know, there's a shift and a change. You're ready for the next phase of personal evolution in a way. You start to want to get back to some of those good qualities that it is time to pick up and integrate into your life. It's not like boot the husband out, boot out the old life. It's bring something more back in, and that's why I say it's good. It's like when you've got that sensation in the dream of landing on the mattress. It's like there's another part of me back. It wasn't this part has come back and it's moved, it's displaced something else. It's another part has come back. So, you know, everything that you said there, it's like this, some of that independence that you suppressed way back there when you were 21, and you've got Peter in the dream at 21 there too to represent that as well. You've grabbed onto and got back, you've caught it. You've got that already back with you, waiting for you to really nurture it. And as you say, you know, a lot of that independence was also associated with you, with creativity as well, that you also suppressed at the time. So this is a time of your life to bring back some of that independence within, if you choose, the structure of the marriage, and definitely to work out ways of expressing that independence in that allow you to develop the creativity. And sometimes independence doesn't necessarily mean physical independence of another person or situation. It can mean mental or emotional independence, you know, developing new ideas, as you say, reinventing yourself, invention in general, creativity. But definitely tuning back into all that quality. And so that cost of that $6 million charged back for you at the head of the dream is like saying, yes, okay, 6 years ago, I had a hysterectomy. And, oh, sorry, 7 years ago, I had a hysterectomy. And that led to a bit of a shift in my marriage. That was the beginning at which I began to realize that there were personal costs. I had incurred personal costs around this. And some of those personal costs I have incurred may be your contemplations of the last 6 years, or maybe the personal costs of having suppressed your independence from when you were 21, or having suppressed the full, very extreme edges of your creativity.
Sure.
Yeah. So
this is
yeah. Go on.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is just fascinating. It just floors me.
Yeah. I'm glad it floors you, because that's grounding like the mattress. It's bringing you down to earth. It's really grounding it in. there's two big questions I want to ask you. And the first one is, have you noticed, now putting that in context, have you been aware since the dream of responding to life differently in any of those contexts, independence, creativity, invention?
The independence, I think, probably mostly. But, you know, I'll tell you what I've really noticed, Jane, especially is my and I've been doing this for the last year or so, but noticing more signs, I guess, kind of from the universe, if you will, taking time out to notice things around me, to listen even more to people and to what they say, and to... I guess just noticing everything and anything around me, things just seem much more clear, maybe, you know, I don't know if this is going to make sense, but almost in a non-tangible way or non-physical way, more of a spiritual sort of, I don't know, spiritual kind of way, I guess.
That makes a lot. It makes so much sense. You know, things feel non-tangible when we haven't got the full picture. It's like we've got the leading edge of it and we're still trying to work out exactly, you know, so that's the part of the non-tangible. And it's, you've also perfectly described, you know, moving into that realm of getting a better understanding of the spiritual aspect of life that is always there. And in a sense, that's part of perhaps what you've caught on to and grounded and brought back into yourself as well. And of course, you know, you started that whole thing there by just saying, I'm noticing more signs around me. And that whole third section of your dream was about signs and symbols and stuff, you know, in a way. So all that free-falling stuff also represented your increasing awareness of signs and what they might mm-hmm. mean, and your sense of awe. You know, you felt awe in the dream about that, your sense of awe about that. So, yes, absolutely, there's that stepping when, you know, because you're bringing back something that you've suppressed, and in a sense, when you were 21, you may have seen that as independence and extreme creativity, for example. Maybe in many ways that was a huge part of your spiritual life that you also suppressed there. Creativity mm-hmm. is often another way, a kind of another word for how we engage with our spiritual life, if you think about it that way. It's a kind of free-flowing, non-logical, non-rational engagement with life. What can I make of this? What am I seeing around of me, and what can I make that's new? What can I create? What can I get from this? How can I express this in a different way? Those are non-rational. That is, I'm reading... more, there's more to myself than meets the eye. Perhaps it's either my spiritual life or the world around me, which I'm seeing in a completely different way. You know, mm-hmm. and maybe, hello, husband, if you're listening in, maybe your husband's more rational and you blocked out those kind of things as well.
He's very concrete. He's a very concrete thinker.
Mm.
I think he's black and white, and I tend to be kind of gray.
So now your opportunity, rather than being gray, is to be all the colors of the rainbow that go between black and white.
Yes, yeah.
Which is to bring in the full spectrum. And somehow they were back to MC² with light and speed of light and stuff like that. I really want to ask you now about your guided imagery meditation, because you said it was doing a guided imagery meditation that dropped you back into sleep and got the dream. So I want to see either the connection between the guided imagery meditation and the dream, or what was the purpose. What was your intention in doing the imagery, and does it relate to what has happened as shown in your dream? Over to you.
Mm-hmm. It's actually one that this gal that I kind of work with, who's kind of a psychic medium, I guess, she has given to me to help me to access more of my kind of my inner workings, I guess, if you will. So what I start off as, closing my eyes, and I'm in the dark, and I'm looking around in different directions, but I can see nothing. And then there's like a sort of a breeze at my back, and I turn around and see this light kind of at the end of this, whatever this long, wherever I'm at, because like I said, I'm in the dark, but then I see this light. So I out of curiosity, I start to follow it, and I'm in a tunnel is how it starts. You're in a tunnel, and then you get towards kind of the end of the tunnel, and you're enclosed in this bubble of light. And then I step out of the, from the time that I'm sort of in this bubble of light, I step out from the tunnel entrance onto a beach that's by the ocean, which is where I really want to live someday. I really want to live kind of out in California, if at all possible. And that's one of my goals. Mm. Be near the ocean and be near mountains and just be able to have that natural expression readily available, so that it just kind of helps spur my creativity as well. But yeah, so then I'm out on this beach, kind of walking, and at this point I'm able to meet up with my guides, I guess, if you will. Although I've been sort of practicing this for a while, and I don't think I'm at this stage yet where my mind is freely allowed me to, you know, fully access, I guess, the potentiality of what I think I could, what's there. But, but that's kind of, that's the sort of basic guided imagery. Mm-hmm. And I could see, you know, like with the blackness, the light, you know, some of those things,
yes,
might be
absolutely
connected.
Yeah, they're there. And what I love about that is that from a kind of dream perspective, and one symbol never applies to anybody. You know, all our symbols are personal, but there are some symbols that tend to be similar to a lot of us. And the ocean, or being on the beach, will often come up in our dreams when we're actually more in touch with our unconscious, with our feelings, with our emotions, because we tend to see water in our dreams as our emotions, and we tend to find ourselves on the shore, with our feet on the sand, on the ground, kind of that's grounded, that's what we know about ourselves, that's what's conscious, and contemplating the ocean when it's like, that's what I don't know about myself, that's emotional stuff, I can't see the bottom of the sea, it rolls in, it rolls out like waves of emotions. And so we tend to, and it's huge, the ocean is huge and interconnected over the whole globe, so it's got that kind of, you know, not only the personal unconscious, but the kind of collective unconscious as well. So for many of us, that feeling of being on the beach in a dream is often when we are on the edge of exploring some unconscious stuff and emotional stuff. And so the fact that you're doing the guided imagery and putting yourself there because you want to live in California and related things, you're actually also resonating with probably with your unconscious mind's own symbols for, yes, explore me, you know, explore my emotions, get into the unconscious. So part of your feelings of, I'm not sure that I'm really flowing with my imagery yet, may have been up to now some holding back from really wanting to go there with some of that unconscious emotional stuff. But your dream has picked up and gone and taken you there anyway. It's kind of triggered that. Yeah, so I really love that. I would suspect that meditation will be, the imagery will become easier for you to do now. In many ways.
Okay.
Yeah, go on.
No, I'm happy to hear that.
That's good. Things happen at so many levels, you know, in dreams, in guided imagery, in waking life. You can look at the same situation and you can see a physical manifestation of it. You know, what's the state of my body, my hysterectomy, my day-to-day life, whatever, my house. You can see the emotional level of that. How do I feel about my creativity, my place in life, whatever. You can then move to the mental aspect level of that. You know, what are my beliefs around this? Where do they come from? And you can go to the spiritual level of that. What's the meaning of life in putting all this in context? So you can kind of, you know, play around with all these levels. But I really want to ask you one last question. And it's,
sure.
What happened? Can you think of anything that happened around the 26th, 27th of December? That was the 2 days leading up to your dream. Apart from doing that guided imagery meditation, that may have really suddenly brought to point your readiness for this.
I can tell you. I had a long conversation with my husband the evening of the 26th, because I've been the last couple of years I've been kind of doing the what do I want to be when I grow up, even though I'm 54, should be grown up, I'm working at exploring my own, you know, my creativity, my spirituality, my who am I, and I think it's really disconcerting for him. Mm-hmm. And so we, during dinner, in fact, we had kind of this long discussion, and I kind of shared with him my, a lot of my feelings about our marriage and our relationship and my need to become more independent. And as I said, he's a very concrete person. Mm. And very pragmatic. And I probably tend to be a lot more, you know, the kind of that I'm living more from my heart, I think, these days. And you were right about the living in the mind thing. I think for the last 30 years or so, I've lived mostly out of my mind and in terms of logic and pragmatism and, you know, and common sense. And I still feel like I have a lot of common sense, but I'm listening more to my heart these days too. So I think that conversation, now that you said that, it probably kind of spurred some of this on.
It certainly did. That's a wonderful insight you've given there, Sue. You know, and all these insights are not only helpful to you, but are actually helping in magnificent ways everybody that's listening in, not only helping them to understand their own dreams and life experiences, but, you know, we all gain so much from listening to other people's dreams and life experiences. So I do thank you for that. Yes, that makes perfect sense. That would all have gone into the dreamy mind processing all of that. And what I love about your dream, and you can clearly see now, is that you as a result of that conversation, your unconscious mind is in alignment with your conscious mind. There are no barriers now. You are ready. You did the transformation in the dream. You let stuff in. And that is what is so lovely. It's like no holds barred. And now there are so many. There's a smorgasbord of physical solutions to this. And I'm sure you can see many. And they are not limited. They are abundant. You know, and your job in many ways is to you know, I guess, as you said yourself, listen to the signs, listen to the universe, listen to the symbolism around you, until one path shines more than another, or until a completely different way of moving forward suddenly becomes extremely obvious. You know, you can still, to state the obvious, you can still stay in the relationship and find an open door that allows you to be the greater, you know, manifestation than who you have been up to now, or you can leave the relationship. But this dream is not about whether or not you stay in the relationship. This dream is about yourself and being the bigger vision. You know, in a sense, you said, oh, it's about reinventing myself and what do I want to be when I grow up. In a sense, it's not. In a sense, well, maybe it's in the word re. It's reinvent. It's not invent anew. It's re. It's going, bringing something back from the past and then taking that forward and growing it in a different way. So it's all about you, as it always is. Mm-hmm. It's all about us. And when we get it right within us, everything else is right too. So what I'd like to do at this stage is we always include a dream alchemy practice. So a dream alchemy practice is a way of working with the symbols of your dream to either bring about a desired change, or in your case, you know, because your dream is reflecting that all is good, all pathways are open, is to do some dream alchemy to work with the symbols in your dream to accelerate and enhance that. And there are many different ways of doing a dream alchemy practice, because what we're really doing is saying we can consciously make decisions in life, or consciously problem solve, or consciously set goals. But if our unconscious mind has a different agenda, guess which one's going to win? Now, and that's where we bring in dream alchemy to reprogram the unconscious mind so that it's in alignment with what you want to achieve. Now, what you have done is had this magnificent dream, which has shown you that you are now on a path to, you've bought back all this stuff, you're ready to go, da 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 da, everything that we've said. And we just want to maybe, we don't need the dream alchemy, but it's nice to put it in there to just kind of hammer it home, to really solidify it, and in some ways to give you some, allow you to see the light as to how to actually move forward with this. And dream alchemy can be a number of things. It can be a visualization. I'm not going to give you a visualization because you've just told us all how difficult it is for you to do guided imagery. But of course, what I am going to do is give you a writing alchemy exercise, because you love writing and you love words. And I'm going to give you a very simple one, Sue, because I know that a lot of this you can probably include in your writing in various ways, but I'm going to give you a dialogue. So what a dialogue is you take either a pen and a blank piece of paper, or your keyboard and a blank document on your computer, and you set your alarm, you set a clock for just 10 or 15 minutes, no more. And although I'm going to give you the exercise now, you actually don't start thinking about it. When you hit the clock, you just let the free flow happen. So what you're going to do is a dialogue between, now I'm going to pick, what I want to do is pick two symbols from the dream to represent your heart speaking to common sense in a kind of a way. So what I want to do, just having a little think here. Now I'm going to change that completely. The two symbols I'm going to pick from the dream are a symbol called, a person called Gotcha, as in G-O-T-C-H-A, which is what you do when you've got hide and seek. Gotcha, I've gotcha. Okay, so we're creating a new person called Gotcha, and that's to bring out that second part of the dream, the hide and seek, I've gotcha now. And what the other symbol you're going to be talking to is, I was going to go for one of the golden letters, but let's make it the big man himself. Let's make it Albert Einstein.
Oh.
Right, so what we're doing is we're picking out symbols from your dream. What you're going to do is a dialogue between Gotcha and Einstein. Now, you allow, don't start thinking about it now, Sue, no brain involved. Will you allow one sentence, roughly one sentence turnarounds in this dialogue? And I'm going to give you an opening sentence from Gotcha. But so it'll be a question which Albert Einstein will answer. But if during the dialogue it turns around and Albert Einstein starts asking the questions of Gotcha, that is great too. So what you do is you go in, you just bang, 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 do this dialogue. Then you sit back and look at it. And what, in your case, what this will do is progress further everything we've discussed and give you some insight, because you're engaging your unconscious mind further in the process. So your dialogue is going to be between Gotcha and Albert Einstein. And it's going to start with Gotcha saying, gotcha, Albert. Ha 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 ha. And then Einstein replies to that. Okay.
Okay.
You clear on that?
That's great, yeah. And then it's just free flow, right?
Yeah, just free flow, just free falling, just like you now know how to do.
Okay. Yeah, okay, that sounds fun.
And with all of these things, either down the track, either get back to me personally and just let me know how you're going, because I love to know, and or say to me, look, this is, I'd love you to share this with our listeners so they know what happened to me, and I can do that as well.
Okay. Yeah. I would love that. Okay,
so thank you so much for sharing an extraordinary dream and obviously a wonderful transformation in your life.
Well, thank you for allowing me to do that, Jane. This has been fantastic.
Thank you. Well, that was probably one of our longest podcasts to date, so I'm sure that you were totally intrigued and staying in the TM, but don't turn off just yet. Give me 1 minute, because I want to say to you, Sue did a wonderful transformation there, and it was based on basically her having a long conversation with her husband, perhaps because she could feel the new year coming on. And I know that many of you that are listening to this in real time will have sat down and been thinking about what changes you want in your life, you know, leading up to 2011, which we're now in. So just pause and think to yourself, just what I'd like to do, a small exercise, have a look around your life and around your dreams and just say to you, what one big change have I already put into practice in this first week of January? And if you can name one, that's fantastic. See if you can see elements of it in the dreams that you've had this week. And if you can't name one, then, well, you know what to do. Before the next 24 hours are up, please go and take one step towards that change that you want to happen this year. And enjoy, and I'll speak to you next week for another episode of The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to The Dream Show at lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsite. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsight Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.